Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, our home away from home. Kitchen Notes now reopened. It's fantastic. Joe's had his oatmeal. I've had my eggs and sausage. Good breakfast.
It's the best, man.
It is the best. Speaking of the best, Mike Keith, now the voice of the Vols, or the future voice of the Vols, and was with the Titans for so many years, joins us now. Mike, congratulations. I don't think it's quite set in for all of us, but we're very, very excited for you.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on the show. It's good to be with you.
You know, we haven't gotten to really do this a lot because of, you know, your obligations with the Titans and stuff, but I'll just start with a simple question. You know, you get that phone call to go home, so to speak. I know it wasn't an easy decision, but in some ways, was it kind of an easy decision to know that this was the right move for you at this time?
It was easy to accept the opportunity because the opportunity that they put in front of me was something that checked every box for me in terms of what I love about broadcasting. The opportunity to do a lot of meaningful things with not only football, but getting a chance to do basketball as well, and probably have some involvement in baseball in terms of the SEC Plus package. John Wilkerson does the games on the radio, and he's great, but I get to be around it some and probably do a few games on the side. Excited to, you know, talk about the University of Tennessee every day and be with Tennessee fans and be on a college campus. All of the things that they laid out in that way, that was not difficult. The decision to move, the decision to leave a job that you'd had for 27 years and something that you really enjoyed doing and people that you enjoyed doing it with on a daily basis, whether, you know, the record was good or bad, you felt like you were all in it together. And there's a real sense of camaraderie anytime you're part of what is a real team, which obviously a professional football team is. That part is still hard. And even thinking about it, waking up in the morning and realizing you're not getting back and you're not going back there, that's still hard. And I think it's probably going to be that way for a long time. So the two things were exceedingly difficult to sort of put together. On one hand, you're excited and you're so fired up. And on the other hand, you're incredibly sad. You feel a sense of loss. And, you know, I've never been through that before in my life. And so I'm kind of coming to grips with that right now.
When you ultimately, made the decision to do this, did you talk to Amy and tell her, you know, what you were leading? And if you did, you know, what was that conversation like?
No, we talked after the fact, and yeah. She was kind enough to call me, and we had a really nice conversation. She and Kenneth Adams were both very supportive and very kind, and that made it a lot easier. I got her phone call about a half hour after it all hit, and I was sitting in an office with a friend, and I was just really staggered. You know, I was just really... I don't mean to over-dramatize like this is some soap opera or some awful thing, because it's not. But at the same time, I was sitting and talking to a friend who I really value. And, you know, it was kind of a tough moment. And her phone call was a huge help, because knowing that I could leave with her blessing and Kenneth Adams' blessing meant a lot to me, because that family means so much to me. And, I mean, they gave me a chance. They gave me a chance when I was 30 years old, when I had no right for them to give me a chance. And I always fully realized that and appreciated it every single day, that they took a shot at me. And they took a chance on me. I hope I paid them back. You know, I hope I earned my keep and that they feel good about what Mr. Adams did and the people around Mr. Adams did back in 1998. For which I will be always appreciative. And she made it a lot easier than I thought it would be. I figured I would get a phone call from her. I didn't know how that would go, but the fact that it went very, very well was a big deal to me in so many different ways I can't even describe.
Mike Keith is with us, the future voice of the Tennessee Volunteers. You know, as you kind of look back on your Titans career, you know, you had the opportunity to to call Steve McNair's games and call the Music City Miracle, obviously, many playoff games, call a Super Bowl. So even though you didn't get to see the Titans win one, but the fact that they were in it, did you feel fulfilled at the end of your Titans career as you move into this next chapter?
That was one of the reasons, too, why I felt like I could do this, because I didn't see it all. I didn't experience it all. I'm still disappointed that I wasn't able to call a winning Super Bowl and that I wasn't able to call more winning playoff games and things of that sort. Not selfishly, but I wanted that for everybody involved, too. But, to be there on the first night, when we played the Falcons in the preseason in August of 99, to have been there at different points when the Rob Barona 60-yard field goal to beat the Colts in 2006, the 10-0 start in 2008, Vince Young to Kenny Britt to end the 99-yard drive to beat the Cardinals on the last play of the game in 2009, two 2,000-yard seasons. Went to the playoffs 10 times. So all of those things, and in particular because there were so many firsts, I felt like I got more than I deserved in that role. And the other part of it, too, that I would give any broadcaster if I could hand any broadcaster a gift, it would be the 22 days that we had in January of 2000. That whole run, that was crazy, and that was so much fun. And, you can experience that again at some point in different ways, and I hope I do, but it will never be the same as that because it was the first time. And we were running on adrenaline that whole period of time, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
We're talking to Mike Keith now, the voice of the Tennessee Vols. That is really cool when I get to say that, Mike. And we're so honored that you're on our show today. And we also, throughout the years, you've been so kind to us, to Chase and me and others at our radio station. So I just want to say thank you for that. Mike, was there ever an opportunity for you to double dip in this, like a Wes Durham or a Gene Deckerhoff, where you call Vols on Saturday, then Titans on Sunday?
That was mentioned basically after the fact in passing, and so I don't really think there was a realistic opportunity of that. It was not a discussion that came up during the process, so it's hard to say how that could have worked. It would have taken a lot of vision and would have taken a lot of time to kind of plan out. So no, I don't think that was going to happen.
Well, I just think doing that, just my goodness. I mean, you got to be lucky getting from venue to venue. And I just – the pressure to do that and all that, I don't think I could do that, Mike. I'm glad you're focusing on one thing.
You could do it. You do so many different things now. Of all the people I know, you could do it.
No, gosh, no. Yeah. Well, I appreciate – yeah, you know what? Maybe I could. That Mike Key says I could do this. Mike, who – did anybody try to talk you out of this that's close to you?
No. I went to – obviously, the majority of my discussion was with my wife because this was going to be a major life change. And listen, I'm from Franklin. I grew up – we moved to Franklin when I was 10, before Franklin was really Franklin. And so that – we love it there. And so moving was the part that was the job thing was really secondary in my mind to moving, because that affected more than me. And we've been in our house for 19 years. And of course, the great news is we have our house just exactly the way we want it now, and we're going to move. Yay! Got our kitchen done and, went through all of that, and genius on my part. But we discussed it, in a lot of different angles, and she was and is continually very supportive about, for us. We met at Tennessee. And so, we're coming back here. We lived here the first 8 years of our marriage. And so that's going to be kind of fun to rediscover this town. Being here this week has been really an eye-opener, because it's nothing like when I lived here in 1998, much like when I moved back to Nashville and Franklin after I had been gone for 12 years when I moved back there in 1998. Really kind of a strange thing. I had probably five or six people that I discussed it with privately, and nobody tried to talk me out of it because, you know, I could tell them specifically what the job was, what the opportunities were, what they wanted me to do, what the vision was, and their feeling from a professional and personal standpoint was this was just a tremendous opportunity. So honestly, Joe, I was surprised that nobody in my, I don't want to say inner circle, because that
say it.
But nobody in the circle of people that I could talk to very openly and know that they would keep my confidence. Not one person tried to talk me out of it.
I know the answer to this question. Chase knows it. You know it. But when the announcement came down last week that you were leaving, it was the day after Music City Miracle and all the turmoil that's going over it with the Titans and everything. And people were like, oh, he's getting out because of all that's going on over there. Please answer that was not why you left the Tennessee Titans for once and for all.
Well, the timing was all about I told Tennessee that we would need to do this fast because I would need to get over here to get, like, I was at the basketball game last night. I haven't done tons of basketball in the last few years. So I've got to really get back familiar with basketball now, because next fall when basketball season starts, I'm going to be in the middle of football. So I'm not going to have time to take what I need to do with basketball then. I've got to do it now. So I said, I've got to go fast. And the other part, too, is the Titans need me to go fast. I made that clear because they've got an offseason to plan. How are they going to promote the first pick in the draft? What are they going to do about draft coverage? There's so much that has to be done that we would spend all of January working on at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. So the timing was all about understanding that everybody involved would need this to be quick. And it just so happened, I was not going to do it on the 25th anniversary of the Music City Miracle.
Right.
I was not doing that. I told Tennessee, they go, well, you can go Wednesday. Nope, not going Wednesday. Not going to be in the news about anything other than the 25th anniversary of the Miracle. Out of respect to Titans fans, there's no way I'm doing that. And so I said, we'll go the 9th. And so I walked in and, you know, let Burke Nihil know on the 9th that I was leaving, and the announcement came quickly, and I walked out of the building that day for the final time, because there's no good way to do it. It would not have helped the Titans had I stayed until January 30th. It's just, this was what needed to happen. I got in the car Monday morning and drove to Knoxville.
Wow. Mike Keith is on the line with us. I want, you know, as Titans fans, as fans of you, listen to this. And, you know, as Joe mentioned, there's a lot going on with the Titans. As you leave there, what would be your message to fans about Amy and what she has done for that franchise since she took over? Because I know in people that we've talked to that have covered both Bud and Amy, you know, they're very different people, even though they're related. They're different people. So what would be kind of your message to Titans fans about her?
She wants to win desperately. That's the thing you need to know about Amy Adams Strunk. And let me mention, too, Kenneth Adams is an important part of this equation, too. She's out front more, but Kenneth in particular, and his brother Barkley, but really Kenneth, is somebody who's very smart and has a really good feel for how this works. You know, he moved to Tennessee as a college student. He went to Swanee. And the reason he did is he wanted to be here because this is what he wanted his life to be. He wanted to be part of the franchise. So they're smart people. They're talented people. They understand how things fit together. They get good times and bad times. They certainly get all that together. they'll get everything figured out. You know, they will figure it out because they have a great desire to win. There are certain owners in professional sports who don't, who just want to make money. And I can tell you, you know, hand on the Bible, certainly they want to make money. It's a business. I get that. But I can tell you how much they want to win. And when people want to win, they're going to do what they need to do. And I think that's what will happen.
Mike, as we let you go, one final question for you. Tennessee this fall has a lot of big games, Alabama, Oklahoma, Florida, the usual. But it's that game on September the 6th, the first home game at Neyland. How excited are you already and just the feelings of getting a call? I know you guys played Syracuse the week before, but back inside Neyland. And I hope for your sake, Mike, that it's a night game because a night game at Neyland is absolutely beautiful. How much are you already looking forward to this night?
I am. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I can't lie. I tell you, you know this broadcasting too, Joe. I'm kind of thankful for that Syracuse game in Atlanta to begin so we have one under our belts. So we know that, you know, every wire's properly connected and that everything's turned on the way it should be. Because first broadcast can be tricky. And, you know, the wire that worked on Friday might not work on Saturday, and you might be running to Office Depot to buy some cable or something, pack of batteries, whatever. So I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful that we'll have Syracuse and East Tennessee State before we play Georgia at home on September 13th, which I will bet you a quarter is at night. So, we'll have the opportunity to get some things up and working before we have that full pressure SEC home game. We'll be ready on August 30th, and I hope we'll be good on September 6th as well. But that September 30th against or September 13th against the Georgia Bulldogs will be one we'll kind of be building to as well. I've started thinking about all of it, and I'm really excited and scared, truly frightened, almost terrified, if you will. It's like, now you got the job. Don't screw it up, Ace. You know, that's kind of how you feel about it, right? You're like, oh, yeah. This will be great. I hope.
Well, Mike, I know you're going to do fantastic, and I do want to just say this, that you have always been – absolutely great to me, and you know, I can remember I'd met you a few times before I got into this whole broadcasting thing, but the first time I met you once I started my career was probably 2012 at a Titans training camp. I was still, you know, scared to death of my own shadow, and I see you walking, and I'm like, it's Mike Keith, it's Mike Keith, and you came up and you knew who I was, and that was like the coolest thing in the world to me, and you have just always been great. You know, since that day. So I'm thrilled for you. I know Joe is too, and you're going to do a great job.
Thank you, guys. And I appreciate you saying that, Chase. Very kind. Go ahead, Joe.
No, sorry, I was just and I could Chase's comments about you and how important you are and nice you are to us. And I want to say I remember a time outside of Providence, Rhode Island Hotel at the Omni where the Titans were staying, and a guy came up to you, recognized you, and made some stupid joke. And you're ready to fight him. I don't know if you remember this moment, but I was like, oh, I love Mike Keith, because it's like, that's the stupidest joke I've ever heard. And just the passion you had for the Titans off air showed me at that moment. I was like, this is great. So I'll never forget that moment.
Well, I'm certainly glad I didn't, because I would have lost my job. Now that I'm a little older, I've lost my nerve. I have no desire to fight anyone about anything anymore. And I'm glad we grow out of that. So, yeah, it's, you know, hey, I loved it. I mean, I loved every minute of it. And I hope people know that I was all in. And, I mean, I was all in 11 days ago when we broadcast the last game. I wanted to beat Houston in that last game. And, I had an idea that was going to be my last game. And, you know, I loved it. And I've always loved the Titans fans and their passion. And, you know, guys, I'll leave you with this. The thing that I'm most pleased about is when we started in 1998, people didn't care. They didn't care whether we lived or died. They really didn't. In leaving, in hearing people who were upset with the season or who are so focused on what we're going to do in the draft or what we're going to do with this and saying we, even in the bad times that people care enough to be all in like that, that's the greatest gift I got out of it from 27 years because I know where it started. And, you know, it's going to be a great offseason for the Titans and Titans fans as everybody follows this number one pick, and I hope they enjoy every minute of it.
No doubt. Mike, thanks so much for doing this, and I know we will be talking to you down the road.
I hope you'll call me. Thank you.
Absolutely. Mike Keith, voice of the Vols, joining us here on the program and going to do a tremendous job in Knoxville as he will take over for Bob Kessling starting next fall with football season. And, you know, it will be weird listening to Titans games, not hearing Mike, but you get to hear him on Saturdays now, so it'll be great.
Yeah, I mean, and your story about him taking the time to talk, I mean, he did that for a lot of people. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
How just a genuine soul he is.
Well, and I've told him this before. I'm unique. You know, a lot of people will say that, oh, I listen to this person or I watch this person, and, you know, that's why I wanted to get into this, into broadcasting. A lot of mine, most of mine are local. You know, Chris Clark, who is at Channel 5, Dan Miller from Channel 4, at Channel 2. You know, you were somebody that I certainly looked up to, and then, you know, when we got into doing this together. But Mike, it was the Music City Miracle, because my dad and I were watching the game, but he turned off the ESPN audio and turned the radio on, so we listened to Mike. And when he made that call, that was like my dad, you know, used to tell that story that he looked at me and he could see it like, oh, there it is. Like, he knows what, you know, that's what I wanted to do, you know. And so Mike is certainly one of those people. But he's gonna be awesome.
But he landed his dream job, man.
Yeah, he did. And that's why, like, you know, anybody that's like, oh, he's getting out now. He's getting out at the right time. Like, I don't, yeah.
Right.
It is not that way. Speaking of the Titans and jobs, we'll get into the GM search and the latest with that. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.